So we'll open with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer, and please feel free to unmute if you'd like. Thank you. God, grant me the serenity, to accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, hi, I'm Kathy. The preamble. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And Hope is going to unmute and read the workshop opening.
Thank you. I'm Hope, a grateful member of this fellowship. Although some service roles have titles and job descriptions that might intimidate some, the people who fill those roles have endured the problems of alcoholism just as we have. Yet they are proof that Al-Anon is a program of self-discovery and personal growth. Participating in service projects with them can be an inspiring opportunity to get to know them at a different level and learn that we also have great potential for personal growth. Probably most everyone was at least a little reluctant to take on the first service project or position. We are often unsure of our abilities and afraid of the commitment. If we haven't yet engaged in service, it's easy to think of all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't. However, the magic of Al-Anon service lies in benefits that we cannot anticipate before we've actually done any service. Those of us involved in service are grateful because it will boost our self-confidence and our self-esteem, which some of us experience as an unanticipated miracle. That's why many of us look back at our early service work and consider it as a gift from a higher power. Members who haven't yet participated in service can't yet imagine feeling this way. Often, those of us affected by alcoholism have a tendency to isolate ourselves from others. We may be afraid or unwilling to request help. Recovery in Al-Anon is all about reaching out for help, and service is no exception. If our sponsor is active in service, we can ask for assistance. If not, we may wish to have a service sponsor who can guide us. By asking for help in service, we again move toward healthy relationships and away from the outdated thinking that tells us we have to do everything on our own. No one has to do it alone. Al-Anon service is a team effort working for a shared spiritual purpose. As our self-esteem increases from the growth we experience in service, we are better able to take home our renewed feelings of confidence and be better partners in our relationships. Excuse me. We also discover that we are capable of learning healthy forms of conflict resolution, which we can also apply in our other relationships. It's impossible to think ourselves into recovery. We have to take action to learn and experience different behaviors. Through our willingness to participate in service, we open ourselves to new growth and opportunity to learn new interpersonal skills. This will help us build healthy relationships, both inside and outside the fellowship. And that's from Discovering Choices, pages 244 and 245.
Thank you, Hope. Yes, that's copyright by Al-Anon Family Groups, Headquarters Incorporated, 2008. And next on the screen, we're going to have the September reading, and Carolyn has agreed to read that for us tonight.
Thank you, Maureen. September reading, tradition 7. Every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. My efforts to share the program have been kept clearer and simpler through the universal observance of tradition 7. I've never encountered an Al-Anon group that accepted financial contributions from outsiders. As a result, I've never heard a discussion in which any individual or group was mentioned as contributing to the well-being of the Al-Anon group. I've always felt certain that the funds available for any group's 12-step activities were contributed by group members, and that my participation in Al-Anon service was funded only by group donations. I've always understood that we depended on one another to be self-supporting. I felt my own self-esteem and confidence grow as I've spent time functioning in a group that supports its own efforts. I take satisfaction in observing that our contributions enable us to rent the room where we meet, to purchase the literature we display, and to support the services of Al-Anon in our district, our area around the world, and our area around the world. In service, I've begun to see more clearly where our contributions go. As treasurer, I have written the checks for our materials and for the 12-step work. As information service volunteer, I've seen the office from which our district responds to the 12-step calls. As secretary, I've seen the newsletters and information we receive from area and world services. The group willingness to observe the seventh tradition has literally made it possible for me to participate in service and to take pride in our contribution to recovery here and around the world. I feel a real debt of gratitude to all Al-Anon members who have kept our fellowship self-supporting over the years. In service, I have not only benefited from the responsible and continuous practice of the seventh tradition, but I've also come to a wider understanding of its implications. While being fully self-supporting begins with declining outside contributions, it doesn't end there. Without the willingness to contribute time and energy as well, we can't succeed in observing the spirit of this tradition. A group without trusted servants couldn't really be thought of as self-supporting. In service, then, I have realized a new dimension to being self-supporting. My group survives not only through its members' financial contributions, but also through their contributions of time and energy. In reference to the Tradition 7, our concept of obedience to the unenforceable encourages me to step forward and learn a lesson in fuller participation and greater self-esteem. Participation in a group whose ideal is to be fully self-supporting carries over into other areas of my life. While it is an understatement bordering on the laughable, it's nevertheless true that the alcoholism has not been kind in providing me with friends and family willing and able to be fully self-supporting. Even those with plenty of money have been hard pressed to function responsibly. My Al-Anon service experience has encouraged me to learn more fully what it means to care for myself, not just financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It has also taught me that while I can contribute to a group well-being, I must also look to others in the group to take part. And this is from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, page 46 through 48, copyrighted Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Incorporated, 1994.
Thank you so much for doing that, Carolyn. I appreciate all the readers. Each of our three panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly some brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So with that, I am going to introduce our first speaker tonight, and that is Kay. Kay comes to us from Texas.
Thanks so much, Maureen. I am Kay from Texas, and I'm glad to be here today. I read a couple of notes, and hi, everybody. It's so good to see you. You know, when I think about Seven Tradition, I think about what I thought about when I first came in, which was that it was all about the money. It's all about the money. Oh, we're giving money. We're giving money. But yet the group had all these service positions that weren't filled, right? Nobody wants to fill the positions because that's a commitment. Let's not do that. Let's just put money in the pot and call it a day. And then the longer I stuck around, I learned, wow, that's not really being a self-supporting group. We're not really doing what we need to do. And then I started seeing, okay, so groups would get filled with the positions. We did that piece, but it was the same five people out of 30 that held all the positions. And it was time for elections. Those five people just rotated around and picked up a different title. And I'm learning that that is also, at least for me, not really being a self-supporting group. Because if you don't have other people besides five out of 25 or 30 or 50 supporting that group, then who's really supporting your group? It's the five people, right? Because someone hasn't apparently shared that message. The message I got when I came in from my sponsors was get busy. Get busy, get better. We're talking about that book, get busy, enhance your recovery. And so that's what I did. So for me, it wasn't really an option of being one of those people rotating in and out. It was find what you do next. Find another way to grow. Because the growth for me comes through the service. It doesn't come just from sitting in the chair. Now, I'm not saying sitting in the chair doesn't get you anything. Sure, it does. Sit in the chair. You hear a lot of people experience strength and hope. You learn about the steps. Maybe you do the traditions or the concepts. But the service, that's the commitment. See, that's the commitment of more than one day a week sitting in the chair. That's the commitment to me. I'm going to be a sponsor. That's the commitment. You want me to do what for 3 years? Three? Are you out of your mind? 3 years? I'm not even sure I'm going to stay in Al-Anon a month. 3 years? But I will tell you, my experience is if you do the 3 years, pretty soon you're at the end going, wow, that was interesting. Now, it might not have always been fun, but it's probably going to be interesting. And so then what else can I do? Because then you get the bug. Now, for me, what was the bug? The bug was I got to meet a lot of people. I mean, I'm laughing. I'm looking at Marcia down here in the corner on my little Jeopardy squares, what do you call us, Hollywood squares. I wouldn't know Marcia if it wasn't for service, because we met through service. Service expands for me, my fellowship. It isn't just the 20 or 30 people in my group. It now becomes the 100 people. It then becomes the 200 people. And that becomes very helpful as you go through life and things happen and you need people to depend on. Where are those people? They are your Al-Anon family. How does your family get big? For me, it's through service, because you know a lot of people. It's a fantastic offshoot that nobody told me about. Nobody told me about. So that's been a bonus for me. So I'm not even on my notes. I don't know why I took notes, because so far we haven't talked about anything on my notes. Apparently my higher power's got another idea for this talk tonight. We'll see where we go next. So as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking fully self-supporting, right? Seven Tradition. All right. It was already shared in the reading that that means I'm responsible for that, for meeting my personal needs. What does that mean? I can't rely on somebody else to meet all my emotional needs, all my physical needs, my financial needs, my spiritual needs. That's not your job. That's not my sponsor's job. That's not my group's job. It's not my husband's job. That's my job. It's also not somebody else's job to work my program. Now, when I came into the program and start sponsoring people, I think I sponsored some people more than they did their own recovery, because I apparently was more concerned for their recovery than they were. But I've learned through studying traditions, I think something about being fully so supporting has to do with my recovery and fully supporting my own recovery and not expecting somebody else to do it for me. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is if I want what you have, I can't get it if I'm not willing to do what you've done. If I want growth in this program and I'm complaining about how the program isn't working for me, well, maybe it's because I'm not working the program. Maybe it's because all I'm doing is sitting in a chair and I'm not willing to chair a meeting. I'm not willing to take a group commitment. I'm not willing to get active somewhere because that's uncomfortable. I don't know how to do those jobs. I'm a people pleaser. I want you to like me. And if I screw it up, you might not like me. Maybe my status in my head will get lowered a little bit when you find I'm not really good at some of those things that you're asking me to sign up for. For the safe thing is don't sign up. I don't sign up because then you won't know what I don't know. And I can just keep doing the things I do know and looking good. But see, that's not growth in the program. Growth in the program says, okay, get a little humble and learn to do stuff that's uncomfortable. Learn to do stuff you don't know. Learn to laugh at yourself when you really mess it up. Because guess what? What I found out about service is when I raise my hand, most people are going, whoo, thank goodness, I don't have to be the one doing that. They don't want my job because they are so glad that I have. They were not waiting in line. And matter of fact, a lot of the service positions I've done over the years, I only got those jobs because nobody else wanted them. And I happened to be maybe the first one who looked up from the floor, right? You know that? It's time for elections. Your shoes get really interesting. Wow, look at those shoes. Who knew that those shoes were so pretty? Everybody's looking down because if you look up and that chairperson catches you, okay, are you looking up? Are you interested? Next thing you know, you got a service position. That's how it's worked for me. It's also worked for me because my sponsors told me, don't ever say no to Al-Anon. Now, sometimes you got to say no. If you've got some major stuff in your life, maybe you can't serve. But I have come to find that there has not been much going on in my life, and I've had some pretty heavy-duty stuff happen. Marcia's not, and she knows. She's been with me on this journey. Most of that stuff did not prevent me from being a service. So I think it's that easy out for some of us, right? Well, that's too much. Well, I've learned, yeah, you know what? It's actually a goodness. Because if I stay in service in the middle of my chaos, what happens is my middle of my chaos becomes a little less chaotic because I don't spend all my time thinking about. Why not? Because I got a service job. I got something else I got to be thinking about. And wow, that means my higher power just take care of the rest because I can't look at it anymore. Well, isn't that a bonus of service no one tells you about? I don't know why we don't have that in our books. Your chaos will get lessened if you get into service because you won't be focusing it all the time. Who knew? It's an amazing thing. So I put in here, no one can work my program for me. And for me, being a service is making the decision to own and expand my recovery, to own it. I have to own it. And service helps me do that. There's a great reading. It's Hope for Today. I'm not going to read all of it in the interest of time, but I do want to read just one little line. And it says, to me, recovery is intertwined with service. Service helps me stretch my boundaries. We come into Al-Anon, and some of us come in just to get a little bit. I came in for you to tell me what to do with the alcoholic. I did not come in for a self-help program to make me better and to work myself silly trying to become a better person. That was not the goal. Matter of fact, I didn't know that's what you were going to ask me to do. But once I got here and I found out that that was it, I also learned that when you stretch, you grow. And when you grow, you become somebody new. And if I was so happy with the person I was when I came in, then no need to change. But see, if you do the steps like I did, you get to step four, you see some stuff's kind of ugly. And you might ask yourself, I don't want to be that person. How do I change? Well, why don't you do something that makes you change? And service will make you change, whether you want to or not. Now, it can make you change because you try new things and you have to grow. It can make you change because it puts your character defects right in the middle of your eyeballs. There they are. Oh, my, there they are. Look at what I'm doing again. Because see, when you do service, you get to work with all these other people who have character defects. And then we get all of us with our character defects in the same room. And isn't that a lot of fun? Oh, it's just a great deal of fun. But it can be. It can be if you can look at yourself and say, wow, I am really being judgmental at how they're doing their job. Perhaps I need to look at that character defect. Or wow, I am really sitting over here thinking I know everything. That's ugly. Perhaps I should learn how to be open-minded. It's opportunities for growth. I don't want to be the same person that I was before. I want to be somebody different. Otherwise, what's the point of coming to this program? When I got here, you told me it wasn't about the alcoholic. You told me I wasn't going to get to change him or fix him. Well, if that's true, then why keep coming? Oh, it's about me? Well, the only way me gets better is that me does some work, right? Me, I got to do the work, and I do that through service. So one of the things that I was asked and the note Maureen sent me was talk a little bit about your service experience. What have you done? What have you been up to? I don't have time to tell you everything I've been up to because I've been really busy because that's what I was told to do. I've held every job at the group level. I've had 3 home groups, and I've held most of those positions in all 3 groups, not at the same time. I only had 1 home group at a time, but I moved a little bit, and so that caused me to change home groups. I was the ISR. I was the secretary for the intergroup in Dallas. I was a GR. I was an alternate district rep. I was a district rep. I was our delegate. I just finished my term this past year, just finished my term up. I got to serve on the literature committee and the public outreach committee at the World Service Office. I also got to be the co-chair and the voice of our state convention. And then I was the chair of our area finance committee. And there's a whole lot of other things I've done, but in the interest of time, and it really doesn't matter. It's not that thrilling. It just kept me out of other people's business because I was too busy doing my job. And it helped my recovery. I've been in service a really long time and it's always helped me. So here's something I learned about that though. When I first started doing service positions, it was because it was expected. I felt the expectation of a sponsor to sign up to raise my hand. And so I didn't want to disappoint. And then I found out that some of the stuff that I might volunteer for might make me feel really good about myself. Wow, I get to be in charge. Wow, I might be able to tell people what to do. And I wouldn't admit this publicly back then because I'm not sure I recognized it, but there's another reading I want to give you, and it's page 322 in Hope for Today, and it goes like this. It says, when I feel called to service, I pray for knowledge of God's will for me to make sure it's not just me wanting to manipulate, to control, or to avoid something going on in my life. Perhaps some of you can relate to that. I'm going to take that service position because I don't like the way they're doing it, and I'm going to get in there and be in charge, and I can manipulate the outcome. Or I'm going to take that service position as GR because I think GR means I'm in charge of my group. Ironically, we have an Al-Anon guideline that tells us right on there, as GR, you are not in charge of your group. It says that on our guideline because some of our members think they own our group when they're the GR. You're not the GR, they don't own the group. You're the GR, just means you represent all those members. You work for all those people. That's all that means. So that's not clear motives. And that last little bit about I'm going to take it so that maybe I can avoid other things in my life. You ever heard that? I'm just so busy. I don't have time to focus on the family stuff. I'm just so busy. I don't have time to focus on myself. We use it as an excuse, busyness. But there's another reading on our literature, and it says, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. And by that, it means what value are you giving back? And so I love this reading because it helps me know what I need to know. And this next line says, I have a finely honed sense of responsibility. Oh, yes, I do. I can be responsible for everything. But see, I also have a finely tuned, I put in here, sense of self-importance at times. And ego in some positions might put me up on a pedestal, right? You ever had that? Oh, we all look up to you because you are the whatever. And so I learned to pray a lot before I take certain service positions or even stand for them to make sure that that's where my higher power wants me. If it's not a place where I can stay in a place of humility, then I don't need to be there. And frankly, I don't think I deserve to be there because that's not what Al-Anon service is about for me today. Al-Anon service should be about giving back to the fellowship for what I've received. It shouldn't be about patting myself on the back. Yay, Kay, you stayed in. You didn't decide to leave. Well, gee, that you get an award for that? No. And I don't think a position that some people might look up for deserves to give that recognition to the person who holds it. I think that service positions should be used to be of service to the fellowship. That's why I serve. And so today, I'm having to make sure every decision I make with regards to service is one that my higher power is guiding. It's really, really important to me. And I put in here, aligning my will with God's will for my life enables me to trust that my higher power would lead me to those areas of service in which I can best serve. Now, I will tell you, some of those areas of service are not areas of service that I wanted to serve in. Case in point, when I was a delegate, we had an opportunity to choose what we would like to be participating in. You have a few committees you can choose to be on, or you could be on a task force. And so I put my top 3 picks in. And my first year as delegate, I got choice number 3. And I thought, well, I don't like that. That's not what I want. Okay, if you're only God, is where you want me. So then the next year, I put my choices in again, and I got number 3. And I'm thinking, what is the deal? Well, here was the deal. The number 3 was the thing I didn't know about in Al-Anon. I knew next to nothing about that area. And had it not been for my higher power, I believe, interceding, I wouldn't have learned about it, but because I got assigned to this committee for 2 years, I learned so much about public outreach that I actually started to understand the importance of that. That was huge for my growth in the program. That would not have happened with a higher power not being active in my life and being willing to accept that and to be fully participating in that. So that was a blessing. Tools that have been helpful in my service journal, there's so many, but I can give you a few. In my journey, a service sponsor, fantastic. If you don't know how to do a job, ask somebody. Nice thing about Al-Anon, usually the people that are finishing up are so happy to tell you how to take it over. Most of the time. Now, some people aren't because they want to hang on and be really important. And that's not good for them. And it's certainly not helpful for you. That's double-headed management. But the ones that are really helpful is great. Use them as a temporary service sponsor. Or better yet, find someone who's done a ton of service positions. And then you can just have them for like forever because they can take you through any job you probably want. And so I've done that. And it's been invaluable to my growth. The service manual. Oh my gosh. It has become my favorite. One of my favorite pieces of literature in Al-Anon. Sounds like an Al-Anon nerd, can't help it, that's what I am. But in that service manual, I learn about our structure. I learn why we're set up the way we are. I learn about our policies and I learn about our concepts, the whole section in the back about the concepts of service. That's important because that tells us how to operate with each other. And it says in here, define working relations that can be friendly yet efficient. Isn't that handy? Wow. And then concept 9 in the service manual has this wonderful essay on leadership, which I have found to be extremely helpful and useful in a leadership position. Very, very wonderful. And that's all the service name. The other thing I like is this little guy. This one, you guys might know, the conflict resolution kit. Okay, well, this is just a piece of the kit. It's the talk to each other, resolving conflicts within Al-Anon. But what's in this book is a section on resolving conflicts in the group, in the district, in the area. It's great. I mean, it's like, hello, go to this and solve all your problems. How does it get any better in service? Because you know there's going to be conflict in service because we are Al-Anon members. We didn't come here as whole people and we're still working on ourselves. It just happens. Questions to ponder. You gave me a couple. I'm going to talk fast so I don't run over. We had, which principles of Al-Anon grew in you the most through challenges in service? There are challenges in service. I think most people in service might agree with that. But there's also great benefits and rewards. And for me, the benefits and the rewards have always outweighed the challenges, always outweighed the challenges. But what I've learned about the principle of respect and the principle of trust in working with others and understanding that I don't always know it all and that sometimes I need to respect the voice of other people. And sometimes I need to respect the voice that I don't agree with because that's what we do in Al-Anon. I've learned to respect the position, even though I might not always respect the person in the position. I don't know if that makes sense. The position holds the authority. And if I want to follow the tenets of what I believe is our program, that means that I give that person my respect and I trust the process. That even if I'm not sure about that person, I believe a higher power is bigger and can use that person as an instrumental piece of the bigger puzzle. So that's been really insightful for me to be able to trust the process and honor the people that are there. Shared leadership. I don't get to do it all. And I've learned in Al-Anon, I don't want to. There's a thing called delegation. And delegation doesn't mean I'm failing on my job. What it does is I'm increasing the circle of participation. That's important. Bring people in. Let them explore service. Let them learn from service. Let them grow from service. They can't if I don't let anybody be a part of, if I don't share the leadership where I can. And the other part is shared responsibility. Understand that other people also get to be held accountable. Because sometimes it's a group effort and not one person should be held totally responsible. Sometimes there's lots of us that need to make it happen. I put in your open-mindedness and also the right of decision, which I didn't know about in Al-Anon, but I've before Al-Anon, but I've learned now right of decision means there are times in my service roles, I will have the right of making the decision and other people don't have to agree with me. That's okay, but my role allows me to make that decision. But at the same time, there are roles that other people who have that right. And when they do, I need to allow them to do that. Case in point, area assembly. When we're sitting there and the GRs are discussing something and I have an opinion on it, well, that's too bad, okay? Because you don't have a vote. You're not a GR. So if they vote something I don't like, too bad. They have the right of decision when that vote comes down. And I've had to learn that. And that was huge. My last thing I want to say is just, did your service experience meet and exceed your expectations? A big yes. A big yes. So many things I got from service I never, ever would have imagined would have been the side benefits from it. I put in here, every position helped me grow. I either developed new skills and talents or developed the ones I already had that were just sitting there on a shelf. I had the same service experience might have helped me not only grow, but look closer at character defects and have an opportunity to work on those. And then finally, there was the friendships, the understanding of the program in a deeper sense, and a better understanding of how all of this works so that I can continue to learn and share that with other people. So thank you for letting me be here today.
Thank you so much, Kay. Everybody, let's give her a great big clap there with a American Sign Language clap anyway. God, that was a great share. Thank you so much. The next speaker tonight is going to be Penny, and Penny is from Montana. So if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, I'm Penny. I'm from Montana, and I'm a grateful member of the Al-Anon program. And the reason I'm grateful is because I got into service when I was fairly new to the program. One of my character defects is to arrive early for anything, and the earlier the better. In order to do that, I leave early, I drive fast, and you know, so I can get there early. So one night I was going to a meeting and I left early, I'm driving fast, the blue lights go behind me, I'm going to be late. And, you know, I get the spaghetti legs and I'm just all scared. And he goes, you know how fast you're going? I said, no. But I got, you know, he said, I'll just give you a warning. I think you saw the books on the seat in my car. And so I'm like, oh, thank God. So, you know, I start going back. I am driving slower because he's still behind me. And, I get to my meeting and I'm still early. I'm not as early as I had planned on, but I'm still early. I wasn't the first one there, but when I walked in the door, someone said, oh, Penny, will you open the meeting tonight? Will you be the chairperson? And without thinking, I said, yes. And then I went, oh my God, what have I done? But I know that the day that I did that, I'd been in the program about a year and a half. And the day that I did that, I belonged to that meeting. That meeting was mine. And I became a part of that meeting just by doing service for that meeting, just by sharing, opening the meeting and doing that that sharing. And then I, you know, about 6-7 months later, I became the GR for that group. And you know, got to go out of town, do a road trip. And a good friend of mine said, oh, get in the car. I said, no, I'll drive myself. Thank you. I like to have that control. Got to be there early, blah, 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 blah. All those things still. So I drove myself to the assembly and I drove myself back home. But at the assembly, I felt a need to be there more, a need to grow. I walked into a room of people that loved the Al-Anon program, and they loved it enough to take a weekend of their time and, you know, and go and be of service. And, you know, so I was I'm falling in love with service in the program. While I'm falling in love with the service in the program, I'm realizing that I'm not paying that much attention to what's really going on at home. I'm not trying to figure out where he's at, what he's doing. I'm not trying to figure out if he's working his program because I'm too busy working mine. And, you know, I was able to take a breath from that and to go along and become Penny. I've been working the program now for a few years. I've been group rep. I've been the district treasurer. I've been the district rep, delegate, area treasurer, Al-Anon coordinator. And still, you know, I'm holding positions in all levels because I still want to have that connection to that level. to that level of service. You know, I want to make sure that the people that are coming up behind me, they know that there's still more to be done. And I read in Pastor Recovery on page 198, it says, money is only a part of the story. In my personal life, I need to be self-supporting socially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I didn't see that spiritually. I've read this book two or three times. I've never seen that socially, being self-supporting socially, until this year, when I realized that my self-supporting socially was not being nurtured. And that's because we weren't meeting in person. We weren't having, you know, the meeting after the meeting. We weren't having the meeting before the meeting. We weren't going to dinner. We weren't going to coffee. You know, my social self-support was not being met. And, you know, I learned that through this program, through still working these steps, through working these traditions. I learned that, you know, no matter what, I still have to work my program. I walked into, or my service sponsor told me one day, she goes, "I'm going to Washington. Do you want to go along, get in the car?" And I said, "Sure. What are we doing?" She goes, "You know, we're going for a regional meeting." And so I got in the car, and again, I walked into a room of people that loved Al-Anon as much as I did. And they loved it more because they had done more. They knew more stuff. And I just wanted that. I wanted that knowledge that they had. And I wanted to hang out with these people. I really wanted to get all that I could from the Al-Anon program, because, you know, I had learned early that it had saved my life, and that because I came to this I was in this program, that I could be a difference to someone else. And that, you know, people made sure that this program was here when I walked through the door. Excuse me. So I wanted to make sure that it's here when someone else walks through the door, when my kids need to walk through the door, or my grandkids need to walk through the door. But I've learned that through service, I've learned humility. I've learned responsibility. I've learned about myself. I've learned self-knowledge of what I can and cannot do. Before I got into service, I didn't think that I could do anything, because all I could remember growing up and, you know, the years before I got into this program was that you're not enough, you're not doing it right, and how could you even think that you could do that? And so, you know, I learned a lot of self-knowledge when I came into these rooms, that I did know things. I do know how to do things. I do know how to, you know, I know how to write a report. I know how to work on guidelines. I know how to, you know, do all these jobs that are, to me, are very important. You know, like Kay said, nobody else is doing it. I'll do it. You know, I'll do it. My hand goes up. I sit by my sponsor and she has to hold my hand down, you know, no, you're doing enough. You don't need to do that. But I really enjoy, you know, the knowledge that I've gotten from this program, the experience I've gotten from this program, and that it's taught me, the spiritual principles that it's taught me are, action, accountability, caring, presumed goodwill, all of these things that I've learned that, you know, it might not be the right way to do it, but it's the way they're doing it, and it's not the wrong way to do it. But I know that in my life, I need to know that I'm doing okay. So, you know, I just need to make sure that I can take care of myself, not overwork myself, and be able to do the things that I need to do to take care of myself, and I've learned how to take care of myself through the program, and to be able to have the respect of the Al-Anon program that the program that I love that saved my life. So I think that's pretty much all the notes that I have. I kind of said anything I didn't write down exactly. I just took some notes of what things I wanted to talk about, of the spiritual principles that meant a lot to me, and what I've learned in this program. And that I am not done. I am not done. There is still service that I can do. And I don't have to be scared to move ahead and go on to bigger and better things in the Al-Anon program and in my own life. So I'm glad I'm here tonight. Thank you guys. I've been to this workshop a couple of times, and they're just so awesome. And I'm so grateful that you guys invited me to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. That was awesome. And, you know, I just love the enthusiasm you guys have for service. This is exactly what we were hoping to get. Don't forget to send your questions to our moderator, who is Flo Ann. She's waving her hands at it. So if you have a question you'd like to ask a speaker or all the speakers, let her know, and she'll be glad to ask those during our Q&A after our last speaker, which I will go ahead and introduce Marcia. She's our last speaker for tonight. She's from California. Take it away.
Hi, it's so odd, you know, to be in this kind of format. And, you know, I had all these wonderful notes, and then it's like, well, you know, but this is my brain, not necessarily HP directing what I'm going to say. So hopefully it won't be too crazy. One of my favorite terms is, I say, I tend to squirrel, you know, kind of like in the movie Up. I don't know if any of you know that part where the dog is talking and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And then he sees a squirrel and goes, squirrel, you know, that's me, you know. So hopefully I'll stay on track enough. Anyway, I am Marcia. I'm from Southern California, and my hometown is actually El Cajon, which is part of San Diego County. And my home group is Hope for Parents, which I love dearly. So when I started Al-Anon, I started for the husband, okay? And that was in the 80s. And I tend to call myself a retread because I was really into it for a while. And then we adopted our kids, and then I didn't have a home group. So those years that I didn't have a home group, I don't count that, right? You know, but then, you know, the son, both of our kids grew up, but the son really grew up. And then I had to crawl back to a parent group. But when I first started Al-Anon, it seemed like all I could do was sit in a corner and cry. You know, that was it. Give me the Kleenex. I'm out of here. And I would hear different people sharing. And for me, probably my first service was just going, right? Just getting to the meeting. And then eventually speaking. Oh, what a concept. So, but you all knew that I was so emotionally, spiritually fragile that, I mean, you knew that I was hanging on by a thread, and give me any damn excuse, I wasn't going to come back, especially all this, the higher power God thing. And this was back when it seemed like the only book we had was The One Day at a Time. I have since found out, there was other literature. My group just didn't have it. But in those days, it seemed so heavy on a religion to me. And so I was really sketchy. But you gave me jobs, you know, little jobs. Like, oh, well, could you do the chairs, do the this, do the that? And so that I needed to be needed. And so that kept me coming back. And you just made me feel so welcome. And if I'd missed a couple of weeks, you know, I'd come dragging back in feeling so guilty, like, oh, they know I'm, you know, I've missed meetings. First off, you probably could care less. But if you cared, it was because you knew I needed to be there. So by giving me those jobs, it really helped ground me, you know, and give me something that was important. Eventually I could get through enough of my pain and realize that I really needed Al-Anon. But in the beginning, I needed a job to make sure I got there every week. I'll never forget my first real big service position, though. This was the first time around, chapter one for the husband. So I was going to a meeting every Friday night. And I love Friday night because it got me out of the house, because, you know, Friday night was kind of a drinking night for the husband. So going every Friday night. Now, this group kind of dwindled down and there weren't too many of us. And there was this wonderful woman named Gerda with this great German accent. I won't butcher it by trying to talk like her. So practical. And she had a briefcase. This was the briefcase. I mean, these were the days, remember, before service manuals, everything was just right in there. All the copies of everything that she read that was secret, of course, because I had no idea that this was actually something written by someone, you know, someplace. It had the few books for sale. It had read everything in the briefcase. And there was one night when Gerda said, you know what? Nobody takes this briefcase. The meeting's done. And I just had like this panic attack. And it's like, oh no, no. So I took the briefcase, I brought it home with its little key and everything. And it's like, oh my God, what have I done? So this meant I was the chairperson. I was the literature person. I was the key master. And I also had the money. So I was the treasurer. Now I look back and I go, oops, probably this meeting needed to probably disband, but I was so desperate to keep this meeting going that I took it all home. And now, mind you, I learned a lot because at least there were a lot of pamphlets and all. So that was my first real service experience. Later though, I realized, I really didn't get into a lot of service beyond the group level until I retired. Now, I did like an ISR position, I did alternate GR, did GR, you know, I did a few of those things, but it really wasn't until I retired that I just really got sucked in and found the time and made the time. Before, you know, and sometimes, you know, life is such a chaos, you know, it's like, people say, well, you can do this, but I always felt so bad because I didn't know if I could, you know, because, you know, oh, I may be in juvenile court tomorrow. I don't know. I can't do service. So anyway, so it took me a while, but once I did, I was hooked, just like the other lady said, I was hooked because it gave me something that I really needed. Now, I, you know, when I had my career, I had a feeling of I was accomplishing something and doing something. I still kind of needed that when I retired. I needed to still be accomplishing some things and feel needed, you know? So anyway, I'm going to squirrel a little bit. We, as speakers, we were given some thoughts, questions, whether, you know, to look at. So one of them was about the principles in Al-Anon. Well, there's so many principles in Al-Anon. It's like, well, I could just read all the traditions. That's it, all of them. What really came to mind, though, for me was one that's not necessarily called a principle, but it is the saying which was mentioned previously, presume goodwill. And I was helping with a workshop recently, so I looked that up, and you may all know, but that came from a World Service Conference back in 2003, and that's when there was so much controversy and ill will around the Alateen motion and all the safety issues and all that. And that's when that started. And that reference is in Many Voices, by the way, which is one of my absolute favorite books. So that concept, though, of presumed goodwill has saved my bacon, because I can't tell you how many times I've been in area meetings and some members come to the mic and they are not happy campers. And they come in and they're berating like the chairperson or someone else. It's like, oh my gosh, something happens sometimes in business meetings that you might not even see at a regular meeting. Oh, darn, I forgot to set my timer. Oh, well, you guys will tell me when, right? So anyway, it's like, really, did you leave your program outside the door when you came into this business meeting? And sometimes it seemed that way. So I really, at the beginning, especially, I really reacted to these members and their reacting and judging and taking their inventory and, you know, all of that, especially when they would accuse some of us of doing things. What? How did you get this idea? You know, and it was really sad. And I really needed to learn a lot through that. And so my service sponsor, which of course we've all kind of mentioned service sponsor, let me tell you what a gift from God, you know. I picked her because she is a past delegate in my area. And eventually she became my everything sponsor because my other sponsor left the program. Bummer, you know. So, but anyway, she really said, you know, Marcia, you need to breathe. You just need to breathe, presume goodwill. And then I have taught myself to say, Marcia, remember, we are all in Al-Anon for a reason. Because sometimes when these members are going, you know, it's like, I know it's sometimes it's their adult child kind of stuff coming out. And, but it's, that has saved me and brought a smile to myself. So when someone's up there, they're, you know, anyway, I know, you know. Another thing I learned with service is to be a better listener. In my career, I needed to be a really good listener. However, I needed to learn how to listen and not necessarily feel like I had to fix something by whatever the person was talking about. Because sometimes I would get phone calls and the member really needed to just vent about something. And first off, I tended to listen way longer than I needed to because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings or, you know, and then I try to fix it. And I remember when I was new as a alternate delegate, I called my service sponsor and was practically crying. She goes, Marcia, you really didn't have to solve her problem. All you needed to do was listen. It's okay. You can just listen. So that was something I learned. I also learned how to set boundaries that, you know, my time is important. And as much as I might like to listen, there is a point where I'm not doing them or me any good. So, you know, I learned to listen. I needed to learn a lot of skills in different service positions that I never thought I would learn. You know, I learned a lot when I was working, but boy, my computer skills and technology skills and whatnot went fast forward, you know, doing service because I was motivated. Dang, I wanted to know how to do a spreadsheet to demonstrate something. I wanted to learn how to do a PowerPoint presentation. You know, some of these things that I never did when I was working, it's like, wow, I need to learn how to do it now. And I often would say, dang, I wish I'd learned this before. I could have used these skills. And the interpersonal skills that I've learned through service have been so important that I also wish I'd had some of those skills and could have done my job from an Al-Anon point of view, you know, which I'm learning how to do now. Another question was about service experience. Did it meet or exceed my expectations? And I have to admit, there were very few service positions that I said, oh, yes, I want to do it. There was always some of that cattle prod, you know, or like somebody said, you know, you turn around or you're looking at your shoes and you look up. I remember one position, they said, okay, everybody eligible, stand up. And so I stood up. I was in the front row. Uh-oh, it says my internet is unstable. It's probably me, I'm unstable. So anyway, I was, and then they said, okay, if you would be willing to consider, then stay standing. So the next thing I knew, all I was turn around and everybody else, whoosh. I was the only one standing. So that's what happens with sometimes. It's like, God, why didn't my knees bend? I don't get it. So each position I have found has been a growth opportunity for me, just incredible, and has helped ground me in the principles in the program. And I have to say, it really has helped me stay out of my family's, and hopefully you don't mind if I use a little tiny cuss word, their shit. You know, I have to stay out of it. I do. So there are times when service positions dropped in my lap, coincidence, when I really needed it. Like one of my favorite examples was my son was visiting from Colorado. He was such a mess. And he decided to go to a detox place. And I got a call from the doctor at the detox place. He was only 26 at the time. And the doctor said, you know, your son is in the worst shape of anyone I have ever seen at his age. He's already showing signs of liver failure. Well, okay, that's just what a mom wants to hear. I was a basket case. So that was happening in the morning. Late afternoon, I got a call from the Southern California area officers asking me, would I be interested in taking over this interim alternate delegate position because somebody just resigned. Now, mind you, this was the fourth person who had resigned from this job. And I'm going, is there something I should know about this position, right? Anyway, they called me and I was a mess. And I said, you guys are about to get an Al-Anon call. You have no clue what's going on in my life right now. So I was crying and talking to them. Well, you know, a week later, I decided, you know what the heck? I probably needed to have something else to focus my mind on. And so I took the position, you know? So did I look for that? Hell no. Did I think it was a good time to come? No, but it was, you know? So one of the things too that I realized, you know, as far as expectations, now when I stood for delegate and became delegate, I expected to be busy. Whoa, this was way more than I ever thought. And part of it is because California South is big. Part of it is because we had so many controversial issues that were happening that I just kind of stepped into. It's like, I was so blissful before. I didn't know about any of this stuff going on. It's like, oh no. However, with the board, we got through a lot of these issues together. And created some policies and different things that really were important. And it wasn't me. It was all of us. And the speaker who said about delegating, that is so true. Otherwise, you go crazy if you don't.
Okay, Marcia, about 1 minute, please wrap it up.
I sure will.
Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, if I don't have a script, then I really run amok. Sorry about that. So anyway, I'm one of those, I truly am a service junkie. You know, I in California South, the immediate past delegate has a position. There are things we do. But soon I'm going to be a member of SWAT, which is Service Without a Title. And I love it being part of the SWAT team. So anyway, thank you for inviting me. And I always say, you know, what's next? Just do your next indicated thing, whatever it is, because that's where you need to go. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, I just feel a high power just kind of guides us when we speak a lot of times, and scripts are okay, but sometimes they're not. So anyway, I thank you guys so much for coming, and great job for all of you. And if, we already give everybody the American Sign Language clap for all of our speakers. And also, if you have questions, you can still send them to Flo Ann in the chat to her privately, and we'll get those answered. So right now, I'm going to turn it over to our moderator, Flo Ann.
First one's for Penny. Of all the positions you've held, which ones were your favorite and why?
All of them. my favorite one right now is the position I have right now, which is area chair. And this position has brought all of the knowledge that I have gotten from the Al-Anon program through service and through the program itself into one spot, and I get to use all of that knowledge that I have. And I sit here and have meetings, and my husband, you know, he's sitting at his computer, and after the meeting he goes, "Man, you know a lot," you know. But every position I've had, I've grown, and I've loved every position that I have. Another position that I really, really like is doing the guidelines for our area and for our district. You know, just having policies and procedures for, so that people know what, you know, when they get into the job, what's expected of them. So, but yeah, that's my favorites.
Thanks. I love that question. I'm just going to open that up to everybody else. Kay, what was your favorite?
I had several, like Penny, you have some you just love. I really loved being the voice of the state convention. That was a ton of fun getting to MC that. I love being a delegate. A lot of work, a lot of problems, but I learned a lot about myself and my area. I love being a district rep. And I really, like Penny shared, I was able to work on the guidelines for our area. I really like that. And then I got to be in the literature committee recently for WSO and working with the New Daily Reader stuff. And I loved that. So just, you know, it's just good stuff all the way around.
Fantastic. Marsha, what was your favorite?
Ditto. Just, you know, really seriously. I think one though that, one that was a little bit different was an Al-Anon chair for a local AA convention. And getting to work with these AA folks, really interesting. I learned a lot. But to see from beginning to end, putting a program together, all those things. And then finally the day or the weekend, it was like a party. You know, that was so much fun. I really enjoyed that.
Awesome stuff. I have one here that's just for Kay. Kay, how did you transition from serving due to ego to becoming a service leader?
I think that's a tough question. Early on, I ended up in a position that I didn't want. And so it was hard to have an ego about it because it wasn't a service position that was glorified. It was one I didn't want. And my sponsor that had pushed me into service had since passed away. And I heard her voice as I was sitting in an ISR meeting that we didn't have enough people to take votes. They didn't have a secretary. And I heard her voice say, Kay, you should sign up to be secretary. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be secretary. I don't want to be secretary. So there was no ego there at all, because there was no glory being the secretary for the information service. But I volunteered. And then once I took it, afterwards, they presented me with two books and told me I had just signed up for a 3-year term, and they were so happy. And I was so mad. But I'll tell you, ego had to get out of the way really fast, because you can't be doing this program with ego when you're supposed to be doing service. At least for me, that's my experience. And so it started to realize, Kay, you need to get yourself out of this. This is about the program. And that probably was the start of really having my heart in the right place and getting the ego out. So yeah, it's something I have to monitor. I'm mindful of where I can go if I'm not careful with my higher power.
Amen, amen. That's a great answer. All right, I got one for Marsha. It says, I loved your share. I also had a sponsor that said that none of us get here because we're well. Great lesson. What tips or tricks do you have for having compassion for others? Hopefully you understood that. I don't know if I did.
Yeah. I like the saying, and I may not do it right or correct, but the one that is, but for the grace of God, because there are so many times when I see someone who is struggling and their struggle is coming out, you know, all over. It's kind of like whack-a-mole or something. It's just, oh. And I also find that with some folks that I have the privilege of working with in service, if I can get to know them a little bit more personally, sometimes then I can step back and go, okay, now whatever it is that they're doing makes sense. It doesn't necessarily mean I like it, but at least I have some understanding, because, you know, we all come into this program for so many different reasons. And when we do service, or when I do service, I often don't know anything about you. I really don't. It's like, here they are, they're doing the job. I don't know what got you into Al-Anon. So sometimes if I can take that time and get to know that person just a little bit better, then I can find that compassion and I can step back and go, okay, they really are doing the best they can because they just got a lot of stuff going on.
Thank you. Love that. We have a member joining us from Belize, Julie, and I've asked her if she could share for a couple of minutes on service in Tradition 7, and she said yes. So go ahead, Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. I'm new to this workshop. I'm from Belize. And thanks for this meeting. I kind of just have wanted to always come to the workshops, but have only just made it to this one. And probably there's a reason for that. So Tradition 7, and just listening to all of you all shares, I really connected with the person who shared about this tradition applies to, you know, being emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially self-sufficient. And I think I just saw this Tradition 7 as just, you know, being having to do with the groups and financial sustainability, but I kind of apply, I do see how I can apply it to my life. For me right now, the two things that kind of my higher power is showing me right now that have to do with this tradition is being financially and emotionally self-sufficient, because I grew up in an alcoholic environment, and being financially self-sufficient is kind of like the easier one, I suppose. But I never actually thought about, you know, I need to be also emotionally, you know, reparent myself and be emotionally an adult. I think it's just being an adult. I do have some experience with service. My first ever, like, Al-Anon, I joined Al-Anon. My first service position was just being the tea person, who just was basically making the tea. Would ask everyone, you know, do you want some tea? And then I would make them tea. And that was, I mean, I really enjoyed that. That was really fun, you know, just kind of welcoming everyone to the meeting and stuff like that. And that was really fun. And now we don't have Al-Anon in Belize. So like we don't have, there's AA, but we don't have Al-Anon. So I do Zoom meetings. My home group now is actually a Zoom meeting. And so I do try to do service there in terms of like doing the readings, reading the tradition steps like you do in person meetings, and also just like being the chair and sharing my experience, strength, and hope. So I haven't really done any like kind of service in terms of being like group rep or anything like that. And especially now with the fact that we don't, here we don't have in-person meetings. So but thank you very much for this meeting. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Julie. That's awesome. Round of applause. Thanks for joining us from Belize. That's kind of cool. We're in Southern Arizona. All right, I got a bunch more questions. I got a funny one. Penny, do you still drive really fast to meetings? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes. That's still one of my my character defects, is to still drive really fast. When we get together to go to a regional meeting, Donna is, who's also on here, we ride together, and sometimes I can see her hands turning white, you know, holding on. But you know, we've got some wonderful stories. We got into a wreck one time, and it's just, you know, what someday when we get to see all of you guys, we'll tell you the story. But they didn't let me drive to a meeting after that for a long time.
That's awesome. Sorry. All right, Kay, you said that service brings out your character defects and everyone else that are participating. And everyone else that are participating. It doesn't sound fun at all. Why would I do that to myself? People get hysterical today.
What I hope you heard is that it can bring out your character defects and those of the people that you work with. Not that it always does, but it can. And the thing I would say to you is, if you want real growth, then take the opportunity to take a chance and step into a place where your character defects will be revealed. Because if you think you've mastered them, here's your test. For me, if I find out it's still there, I'm not happy about it, but I am happy because I know, oh, I still need a little work here. And that allows me to continue to grow so I can become the person I want to become. If I never put myself in a position where I have to test how my character defects are doing, I never really know. Has higher power taken them away, or am I just hiding them under a closet because I never put them out for the test drive, as Penny might want to do?
Awesome. One for Marcia just came in. How did you ever pass on that suitcase or the individual jobs within when your service in those roles ended?
You know, I probably did the same thing as Gerda. I probably said, okay, nobody picks it up. The meeting's done tonight. I probably did the same thing. I don't know. That was like a whole nother lifetime. Luckily, the meeting did pick up attendance, and I'm a great one for, you know, spreading word of mouth. Of course, this was before internet or cell phones or any of that stuff, but, you know, I'm pretty sure there was some way we advertised that the meeting needed more folks to come in, and as soon as we got, you know, five people, then five people had jobs, right? Rather than one person. So you just keep expanding. And yeah, and I know right now Zoom has been a challenge for some of us, you know, with the service positions and whatnot. We may just keep rotating some of us same folks, but you know, for now it's okay.
Thanks, Marsha. I asked Samantha from DC if she'd speak for a couple of minutes, and she said yes. So go ahead, Samantha.
Hi, my name's Samantha, a grateful member. Thank you to the three speakers and the person from Belize also who shared. What do I want to say about service? I think the way I pick service is based on what I need for my program, or a nudge that my higher power sponsor gives me about what I need for my program. So like right now I'm helping organize a conference because I need to be creative and I need to be working with other people right now, and it's really helping. But there, I took on an Alateen related position in the middle of all that controversy somebody else referenced. And my father had just drank himself to death, and people were vicious. And that was not what I needed for my program. It was actually detrimental to my program at that time. And so I like assess what I need, where I'm at, what character defects I'm working on, and try to go in a place that's going to push me on those things that I need to work on and am ready to work on. That, you know, sixth step, I'm ready to have them removed or whatever. The other thing I'd say is like, I take and receive program calls like they're a call from the president. And they're the most important thing to me. They are, I try to look at when I hate making calls. And so I try to look at it as an act of service, because I know when I get a call, I learn and grow so much. And so it really is the sharing and the listening without fixing, and really like reflecting back to people. I always read a page and I always bring up some tool of the program, whether it's a slogan or a step or a tradition. That's how I always end a call, is like, what's the tool, and let's read a page on it. And that helps me, and it helps the people that are calling me. So that's what I've got on service from my perspective. Thank you all so much for a lovely meeting.
Thank you, Samantha. That was great. That was great. All right. I have a, it's a long one. It's for Kay. Sorry, Kay. you talked about the conflict resolution kit. I served on a convention committee that used that conflict resolution kit by reading a card at each meeting, both sides, and a couple of sections from the book as the opening of the meeting. What's your opinion of using the kit in this manner?
I think the kit's awesome. I think the kit's awesome. I don't know if everybody's familiar what the kit is, but the cards, and I just, the cards, okay, I don't have them handy, but the cards are, they show you different, there you go. Thank you, Penny. I just set it back on my bookshelf. I don't have time to pull it back out. Oh, Maureen's got two. Penny, put it close to the screen. Can you put it really close to the screen so they can see one? Like flip one up for me to give me like a little, we'll do a Vanna thing here. Okay, so see how it says, like group conscience, and then it'll have like, you know, mutual respect. So it gives you these little concepts that you can use, spiritual principles of our program, to apply to conflict. And if you just follow even some of what's in that packet, the whole packet, you have a different approach of dealing with people. Instead of an us against them and let's pick sides and figure out how we can maneuver and manipulate our way, it's like, wow, why don't we all try to work together to a resolution that's agreeable and easy to get to? And you still may have a little bit of this going on, but if you follow what they're suggesting, I think you have a much better chance of getting to resolution. And that's the whole idea about it. It's like, listen carefully, allow people to speak, be respectful. Things that I think sometimes get forgotten when we're having conflict. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't hear any of you because I want my way. Well, that's not really what Al-Anon encourages us to do. So I think it's great. Good for you for using that. Way to go. Oh yeah, and the little pamphlet card too. There's like the little wallet card that's part of the kit, and you get the whole kit. I was just using this little one because this guy has sections on each of the area, you know, district. I mean, Penny and I, we got them fixed up, man. Marcia too, I'm sure. We can get you fixed up with this stuff. World Service sells them. They're awesome.
Woohoo! let's see. The next one's for Marcia. You and one of the other speakers talked about an ISR. What in the world is an ISR?
Ooh, I am so sorry. I forgot about these lovely acronyms. So an ISR is an information service representative. They are the connection between a group and a information service office, which is sometimes called an intergroup. So it's not a GR, a group representative, but this is someone that's just at the local level. So for instance, in San Diego, we have four districts that are all served by an Al-Anon Information Service office, an intergroup office. And so all of the groups in that neck of the woods can have an ISR, an information service representative, that connects their group to the local San Diego intergroup office.
Thank you very much. This one's for Penny. What is the best thing you value about yourself? That's a good question.
The best thing that I value about myself is my enthusiasm. My enthusiasm for the program, my enthusiasm for Al-Anon, and my enthusiasm for anything that I do. I 6 years ago, I quit my job and started my own business. And it was like, what have I done? But that's helped my enthusiasm also, is to get up and go and talk with people and just be able to be myself and, you know, just be happy. Just be happy. So thanks.
Very cool. That is a fabulous way to end the meeting. And I am going to turn it back over to Maureen, who's going to take us home.
All right. Great. Thanks so much. Let's go ahead and thank all our panelists one more time for doing such a great job. And thank you all for attending tonight. It was great to see you and for participating by sending your questions.